great portent appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pangs in the agony of giving birth. And then another portent appeared in heaven, and a great dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Then the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bear a child, so that he might devour her child as soon as it was born. And she gave birth to a son, a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod iron. But her child was snatched away and taken to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, so that there she can be nourished for 1,260 days. There is more than meets the eye in the Christmas story. This week and next week, we will see the many implications of Christmas. And I've taken the liberty of changing the gospel readings around. I wanted today to talk about the Holy Innocents because it is December 28th. And then next week, we'll talk about John's prologue, which is also one of the Christmas texts. Fitting for Christmas that we continue to reflect on what it means. Like Easter, Christmas is a season, not just one day. And after all the presents are opened and the culture has moved on to its next retail conquest, here we are still singing In Excelsis Deo. But we don't get it right until we see that Christmas is a bit disturbing. Herod sure was disturbed by the whole thing. The great Caesar Augustus himself proclaimed Herod the king of the Jews. How dare anyone have a prophecy about a king who was born in Bethlehem, even if it is the Bible? But Herod used the Bible, and Herod was a Jew when it was expedient for him. He killed members of his family. He killed his own Jewish wife. What of a few children in Bethlehem? Like Pharaoh before him, when there was the slightest threat, he would do the unthinkable. The vision of John in the book of Revelation peels back the curtain and shows us just what is happening in the spiritual world at the birth of Christ. Herod is acting not on his own accord, but with the actions of the great red dragon. In the midst of the angels and shepherds and the silent night, evil is at hand. We don't have to go far to find evil. And this particular season in our world has been very difficult. We think of ISIS, we think of the Taliban, we think of all the great evils in our world. We see that it exists and is present in every culture and every nation. And there is not a neighborhood or street that evil has not been present. What we like to do is be distracted from that evil. We like to be entertained in the midst of the evil. Perhaps it will go away if we just look at our phone one more time, or if we just turn on the television that one more time. But is there good news from this disturbing story about Herod and all the things on our minds? The good news is that in the babe from Bethlehem, evil and death are put on notice. Be disturbed by Herod, yes, but be more disturbed that God incarnate has come. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who knew of evil in one of its worst forms, that is Hitler's Germany, says the coming of God is truly not only glad tidings, but first of all frightening news for everyone that has a conscience. Only when we have felt the terror of the matter can we recognize the incomparable kindness God comes into the very midst of evil and death and judges the evil in us and the evil in the world. The problem of evil will always vex us as human beings, but Jesus came to deal with it. Not in a way that we can readily see, but in his own way and in his own time. Jesus deals with evil in his work on our behalf. N.T. Wright says, Jesus doesn't explain why there is suffering, illness, and death in the world. He brings healing and hope. He doesn't allow the problem of evil to be the subject of a seminar. He allows evil to do the worst to him. He exhausts it, drains its power, and emerges with new life. In the words of Johann Rist, "Break forth, O beauteous heavenly light, and usher in the morning. O shepherds, greet that glorious sight, our Lord a crib adorning. This child, this little helpless boy, shall be our confidence and joy, the power of Satan breaking, our peace eternal making." But the incarnation is also very personal. We know not only that God in Christ is dealing with evil, but that his purpose is to know us and to love us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer again. The incarnation shows that God wants to always be with us, wherever we may be, in our sin, in our suffering, and in our death. We are no longer alone because God is with us. We are no longer homeless because a bit of the eternal home itself has moved unto us. And that evil which we see, we want it to be out there somewhere. But the incarnation is true and necessary because the evil is also here in us. Herod is not far from all of us. 3 chapters after our story, what does Jesus say? "You have heard it said to those ancients of times, you shall not murder. And whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire." Herod is not far from all of us. Herod's obvious, the rest of us not so much, but Jesus says that the seeds of what Herod did are right here. The incarnation is necessary for us. Every aspect of Jesus' ministry is needed for us. In our funeral rite, we pray, "By your holy incarnation, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, good Lord, deliver him or her. By your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, good Lord, deliver him." All the redemptive work of Christ is on our behalf and all necessary to save us, beginning with that child in the manger. And it takes humility to accept. But it is our only hope in life and in death. Well, lastly, does Herod win? Does evil triumph? Through it all, God's plan is never thwarted. Herod could not stop him. Nor can ISIS or the Taliban or secularism or anyone or anything else. The powerful will bow to this tiny babe who has grown to become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. and every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. As someone has said, the hinge of history turns on a stable door in Bethlehem. All history rests among sheep and cattle on that silent night. God works, God worked, and God continues to work. Amen.